Hello and welcome back to Spaces Unscripted. I am Alyssa Esposito, your host, and today I have with me Melissa Meyer. Out of the, several things that I know Melissa for, you are a creative yourself. She is the host of Talk Dodgers to Me. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to talk about it because it was one of my inspirations for even starting this. I want to get into all of the things, but you are like the epitome of why I started this podcast. Of course, because you started yours.
Are you going to make me cry?
I'm probably going to cry at least twice during this whole thing. To be honest.
Just on my drive here, I was thinking about like us in that little hostess room singing Taylor Swift, throwing things at the wall because we didn't want to be there. But anyway, thank you for having me.
But into that, yeah, we'll get into it. We've gone through some phases. We're trauma bonded, but really, like, this podcast is about creatives and all of the pivots and all of the twists and the turns and everything that comes along the way with that. And I think that you are such a beautiful example of that. Like, you have really just gracefully gone through.
Graceful is a very nice word.
No, you have. Well, you know, you have.
You know what? I didn't feel that way along the journey, but now that like things are working out, when I reflect back, I really do feel like everything happened
on it.
Purpose.
Yeah.
And I understand it now, but you know, when you're in the moment,
it doesn't.
You feel lost and confused and nothing is going right and you're wondering when anything is going to work out.
Yeah.
So it's nice to look back and understand why things happened. And I'm glad that they happened because it's like connections I made at a job 7 years ago that are helping me today.
And that's, again, exactly why I started, because when you're in such a creative field that we were saying before we started rolling, you don't have a lot of control. Mm-hmm. You can only do what you can do. And the rest is kind of like, keep your fingers crossed and hope. And that's really hard. That's a really hard way to be for so many years. And I think that on the outside, people don't see that part of the entertainment industry and how much work goes in behind the scenes. I mean, with any career, but especially with the entertainment industry, it's really hard. So
it's a lot of trust.
It's a lot of trust.
And you really need to have that deep, deep belief in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all of the things that I'm excited to hear all of the things that you hold from all of your experiences.
Well, I think both of us always wanted to do something we loved.
Yeah.
But maybe didn't know exactly what that was yet. But we kept trying.
Yep.
And trying something new. And that didn't work out, and pivot and then go to the next. And
you
just kind of keep your head going forward.
Yeah.
And follow either where you're feeling passionate and lean into that or where opportunities are taking you.
Yep. Yep. I'm so excited for you. We were talking a little bit about all the amazing things that you have going on with the podcast and so much exciting stuff happening, which we'll get into. But I kind of wanted to start with just an intro to you. So I gave a brief intro, but I wanted to kind of go back to the beginning of your journey.
Okay.
And tell me. You don't have to give the whole, you know, when I was 4 years old, I loved to dance, unless you want to. But I want to hear, you know, how did you get to LA? Okay. What was the passion? What really, like, planted the seed of all of the different career changes? And, yeah, just kind of the pivots. I'm interested to hear, and I think people
okay, will let's
love
see.
It.
You know, since I was four. I think I always have been a really curious person, always asking a lot of questions and wanting to understand things. And I think growing up, there was a lot of things going on in my household that I didn't understand, and no one was really giving me any answers. So I just kept asking and kind of getting shut down a lot. Mm-hmm. So didn't always feel like that was a positive thing.
Yeah.
From other people. But like deep inside, I felt like questions are good and wanting to understand things is a good thing. I didn't understand why people were uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
So just like navigating childhood and things like that. I lost my dad when I was 16. He was an alcoholic and drug addict. And when that happened, my mom took over his business. She had been a stay-at-home mom my whole life. But before I was born, was in fashion. So that was her background. So she...
A creative herself.
She had no choice because at the time we didn't know that my dad's company, a moving business, moving and storage, was at bankruptcy. And we didn't know that.
Wow.
So she really didn't have a choice other than to take over.
Got it.
And that was a really rocky road for a bit. And I think she hid a lot of what was going on from us. And, you know, I think parents do that out of protection. Yeah. But for someone like me who just wanted answers and wanted to understand what was going on, I didn't. So I really, like, lived in my imagination a lot.
Yeah.
And dreamed of who I could be and not knowing exactly what that was, but, like, I loved living in that world.
Yeah.
And starting to see my mom, you know, rise to CEO, rise to be this boss, and kind of change the image of Rob's widow to Cindy the CEO, and how she, you know, she has a fashion background in a moving industry, a male-dominated industry. So she really had to turn it into what she wanted it to be and what her values were and what she wanted the culture to be. So it kind of was like one day she walked in and was like, if you don't support me, there's the door.
Wow.
If you do, you can stay.
Wow.
And from that day forward, it changed everything for her.
Aww.
She has now run the company longer than my dad.
Oh.
It's more successful than it's ever been. She was the first woman president of the Movers Association. I mean, her accolades and awards are just like, I could keep going, but I'm so proud of her.
Oh.
She is my inspiration for all I do.
And you're very close to your mom too.
Very, very close.
Yeah, she's your
My sister,
friend.
Me, and my yeah. mom are as close as can be.
I love that.
But she really, like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a small town in New Jersey. I didn't see anyone acting or things like that. So really watching her do that, like, she was superwoman to me.
Yeah.
And it opened my eyes to really believe that these dreams I was dreaming and thinking in my imagination could actually come true. And it was like this light bulb moment. Hearing her on the phone one day coming home from work and, like, just being this badass businesswoman that I'm, like, watching Friends or something. You
know? Of course.
And
Melissa
just,
loves,
like,
Friends.
It just, like, clicked. I could do that if I want.
Yep.
I went upstairs, made a grilled cheese. I could be a chef if I want. Like, I just felt like in that moment, the sky was the limit. And I went upstairs and started Googling acting classes. That was, like, the first thing. I think I knew I always loved being on a stage
yeah.
or having a microphone. I didn't know what that exactly meant, but I just started kind of moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where it started for me. And understanding that world a little bit, starting to go into the city every weekend and take acting classes,
yeah.
and then feeling like, where do dreamers go? They go to LA. So I dreamed of Hollywood and the palm trees and stuff like that. And I really never told anybody that I was thinking
you just
these
kept it
things.
To yourself.
Yeah, because I didn't want anyone to knock down this like
dream
excitement
yeah.
for me. So I had a job right out of college at like a friend's company of my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I wanted to do, but it was just a job for the time being. And I just remember looking at everyone who kind of clock in, clock out, 9 to 5, same thing every day. And none of them seemed happy.
Yeah.
And I was the receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone would come and talk to me, mm-hmm. which is kind of like how it's been my whole life. Come and vent to me. And I'm like their therapist. And I was like, why aren't these people actually doing things they want to do? Like, it just made no sense to me. So I walked into my boss's office. Like, my feet just started moving before I could keep up. I'm like, I'm quitting. And my boss
He's
is like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you going to do next?
Yeah, I don't know.
And I said, I'm moving to LA. And I literally drove home, booked a one-way flight. I didn't know anyone. Didn't know where I would live.
Melissa, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And then
idea.
I went downstairs and I was like, Mom, I'm moving to LA.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
I shocked everyone in my life. But I was like, it was the happiest moment for me. I just felt like this is what I was meant to do.
Oh.
And that started the journey for me. And then I landed in LA and I'm like, so what now?
I love that so much. I love that so much. And it's led you to where you are now. And you've been in LA for how many years?
It's almost 14 years.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe it. I can still remember, like, coming out of the airport, bags, you know, in hand, driving to my apartment that I found, just looking at all the palm trees, seeing the Hollywood sign. Like, it still doesn't get old.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still in awe of it. I feel that way coming back. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yes, and it's so exciting, like, showing it off to, like, my best friend who's here with me. Like, it's just, it's so exciting to be like, and this is our Vons. Like, just little simple things.
Are you going to take her to Spago where we worked and met?
I don't think we'll make it this trip. We're actually heading down to San Diego.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, maybe, I mean, who knows? I'll be here for 2 weeks. So
maybe we'll go.
You know what? We should go and do a podcast episode in one of the booths. Which leads me to, so where we met. Mm-hmm. So Melissa and I worked at Spago in Beverly Hills. And
how long did you work there?
I was there for 2 years.
Okay.
And I will just say that Melissa is the reason I have the job. I had the job there because I walked in. So my mom is, and I've mentioned it on a few episodes, my mom is very go and do it and walk in and, you know, I was 19, I think, and I had worked at the restaurant across the way, which was Bouchon. And I had worked there for a few months, and then I moved out of LA up to, you know, Thousand Oaks and whatever. And so then I was going to college and I wanted to work in another restaurant. And I had Spago on my list. It was the top one on my list. And I was like, yeah, but I have to approach them the right way. And my mom was like, nope, you're just going to walk in. And so she dropped me off and she circled the block so that I couldn't get back in the car because I didn't want to walk in. And I walked in and you were at the desk. And I walked up and I had my resume and you...
What did I do? I'm scared.
You were like, oh.
No, I didn't.
No, you were sweet. You were so sweet. I said, I want to apply for a job here. Are you guys hiring? And you said, I don't know. You know, let me talk to, is Chelly. You were like, let me talk to Chelly.
Oh my gosh, remember him?
You said, let me talk to Marcelo. And and you said, what's your name? And I said, Alyssa. And you said, my name's Melissa. You have to work here. And that was the beginning.
I liked
of a
you right off
friendship.
The bat.
And I, same. It was the start of a very beautiful friendship. But
we had a lot of fun.
We did have fun. And you taught me everything at that job. And I stuck by. I was like a little puppy dog. I was always just, you know, I was learning everything you did. And then outside of that, you became like my big sister therapist. Just I would talk to you. And we had a little back room that we would we had a little iPad in there. And it was the coat room, technically.
And can you believe that?
It was.
This Michelin star restaurant.
But nobody saw it. It was just like this little tiny.
And the hostesses have to sit in the coat room.
It was the coat room. And we had so much fun in there. We would play music and we would play Taylor Swift. And you were like
we'd
my
eat a lot
sister.
Of dessert.
We ate a lot. We ate a lot of dessert. Remember they would bring us snacks. And then if I needed something, I would go to Melissa and be like, can you ask them? Because she had been there a while. And I said, can you ask them to bring me a latte or something? And then eventually I got comfortable with everybody. But Melissa really was my mentor and like my big sister. And then I started talking to you about everything. And we would talk about the industry and acting and all of the things.
Because I had a very brief stint of wanting to be an actress and trying that. But that's what you were doing at the time.
It was my whole life. Mm-hmm. It was my whole thing. But you understood that whole, you know, world. And it's really comforting when you find someone who gets it and gets what you're trying to do and gets what you're trying to follow. And yeah, I just always looked up to you and I just loved coming to work because of you. So I did. I really did. You made it.
We had a lot of fun.
It was a good time.
As crazy as it was there, I really do feel like it prepared me for anything.
It's crazy that
you're, you know, a hostess at a restaurant, but the power you have.
Yeah.
The people that come in there. It's so twisted in a way because we're like making no money at all. But the people that like want something from us are these major players. You know, it's so crazy.
I know.
But I really do feel like it prepared me for anything to come my way.
It
just
makes you not as fearful.
Dealing with those people.
Yep.
And being treated a certain way by those people that I would never treat anyone, you know, like that.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of learning. A lot of growing.
A lot of learning, a lot of growing. It was, yeah, it was quite the experience. And that was before COVID. That was before. Mm-hmm. And then by the time COVID hit, we were both out and weren't working there anymore. But so from there, you worked in production, right? Mm-hmm. You worked on the production side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that pivot? Like, how was being in production? What did you think of it as a whole?
Well, just to like make my way there in kind of the story, I like after I stopped wanting to be an actress, which was very quickly after I moved to LA, I wasn't loving the entertainment industry, how people were treating each other, kind of the games you have to play. That's just so not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really have always liked to write. So I kind of was leaning into that. I started a web series. I filmed that.
Yes.
So when I had all these restaurant jobs, I was kind of creating things. I was with friends, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I think I reached a certain point working at Spago where I couldn't even walk in the doors anymore. Like, I think if you work on yourself and are really self-aware and are in tune with your body and what you need, like, my body was telling me to get out.
Yeah.
Like, that I needed a change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just feeling like I needed a change. So a friend of mine sent me a job posting at the Kennedy Marshall Company, which is a TV and film production company. And they had a receptionist role available. So I applied. I remember driving to Santa Monica, where the office is, and walking in, and it was beautiful. You, of all people, would love it. Actually, you should come. You should come visit me there one day, because that's where we record the podcast now.
I would love that.
But just beautiful. Like a museum of all the films they've done.
Wow.
And like this two-floor windows open. Like, just so beautiful. And I was like, I need to work here.
Yep.
I had the interview, and Ashley, my boss, was so sweet. I just connected with her instantly, and I left there like, I have to work here.
Yep.
I'm going to make this happen. So a week later, I got the job, mm-hmm. and I went from working at Spago 10 days in a row. The last two days were doubles.
Yep.
And next day after that was my first day at Kennedy Marshall.
Wow. So you went from one to the other.
Do you know what's the crazy thing? I walked in there. And on day one, and this guy comes in, and his name is Ron Shelton. He wrote and directed like Bull Durham and
a
baseball movie.
Oh my goodness.
And he goes, I told him I had worked at Spago. He goes, oh, my best friend's daughter worked there. Michaela Nicola. Do you know her?
We love you, Michaela.
I was like,
we love you, Michaela.
She's my bestie.
Oh my God.
And I just talked to her the other day.
What
I told her I was seeing
world.
You.
Oh, we love you, Michaela.
But it just was like an instant work family for me. And I really loved working there. I loved the people. I didn't love the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I felt like, it's hard to like know what to say on a podcast.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But
there's
just like unwritten rules, how people are treated. Like, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, when Meryl Streep walks in Devil Wears Prada and everyone is quiet, I didn't get that. I'm like, no, you treat everyone equally. It doesn't matter how much money you have or things like that. I just have always pushed back on kind of rules.
Yeah.
And societal norms and things like that. Always questioning everything.
Yeah.
Wanting what's best for everyone. Wanting equality for everyone. Like, no matter what position you're in. That's kind of how I felt there. And then I was there during COVID and was unhappy. And then COVID happened, and I started going on a lot of walks, listening to podcasts and self-help this, and just feeling like lost, very, very lost. I had just gone through a pretty dramatic breakup and felt like my world was over, you know, that feeling.
Yeah.
And I remember like giving myself, looking in the mirror, and I had lost a lot of weight from the breakup, and just I was in a very – in the worst place I've ever been in personally, and just looked in the mirror and was like, you need a change, but no one's going to change your life but you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had given myself like 2 weeks to be sad in bed and cry and eat ice cream, and then it was like, okay, time to snap out of it.
Yeah.
And I really did. And I started – because I had always felt like I was meant for something. Like there's something meant for me to find. So I took out a journal and I just started writing like qualities about myself. I'm like, I got to figure out what this is I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm writing all these things about me, memories, things like when people tell you something, that tends to stick. Yeah. And sometimes the things that come so naturally to us, we don't see as different or unique or special because that's just who we are. So sometimes it takes someone saying something to you for your eyes to like be open to it. So I hired a life coach for myself. And when I started working with her, almost instantly, she's like, I think this is what you should be doing. And that's kind of who I always was to everyone in my life. So I never thought about it. I did have a psychology degree from college.
Yep.
So it did make sense to me. And so I started taking training to become a life coach and thought like this was the thing.
Yep.
And I'm still doing that.
I love that.
At Kennedy Marshall, they were so good to me, you know, still to this day. They let me get my certification while working there. And then I quit. I will say, don't quit a job until you financially can.
Until you're
but
ready.
I've just always been someone that chased happiness over everything else. And that's led my decisions. And maybe they weren't always the best at the time, but I don't regret them. Because when I quit there, I actually subletted my apartment in LA for 4 months and moved back to New Jersey with my mom.
Wow.
Again, feeling lost and like, I hope this works out, this coaching thing I'm going to do. But it ended up being such a blessing because I hadn't been home for that long in, you know, 10 plus years.
Yeah.
So having that quality time with my mom and then, you know, now I'm so grateful because in 2023, I lost my cousin and my aunt.
Aww.
And during those 4 months, I was going on walks with my cousin Justin and spent so much time with them that I'm just, like I said in the beginning, you don't know why you're doing things at the time.
Yeah.
But I am so glad I did.
Aww.
Because I'll never regret having those 4 months with them.
Yeah, that time.
But that also inspired me to start a cookie business.
I don't know if you remember this. One time, so Melissa has always loved sweets.
Mm-hmm.
She always loved sweets. And for one of your birthdays, I made you a card and I drew a cupcake on the inside of it that was holding like a bottle of wine or something.
I remember that.
And I have it burned in my brain, but that's how I always.
I bet I still have that card.
I would bet.
Because I save everything.
You save everything. But that's you. It's so fitting because you. The creative side and just that's how I've always thought like you love sweets
and that's what everyone is saying to me at the time like this is so perfect for you. I always liked to bake and decorate cookies and stuff, but I would do it like once a year because I always got really intense and very like perfectionist vibes, but it was inspired, you know, by my like love you more conversations with my mom. We always say like I love you more than a hot fudge sundae and like go back and forth. So we're just baking and heart-shaped cookies, and I was like writing in script, love you more on them, and people were liking them, and that's how that started. And I did that for 2 years while I was getting the coaching business going, just to like have money coming in.
Yeah.
And I did the cookie business up until I started the podcast, and you know, I've tried and done a lot of different things, and there's always been something I've learned from them that has taken me to the next. And from that, I learned not every passion has to become a business. And because it was really hard. It really was. The time that it took to decorate all the cookies, although they came out great and I was very happy with them, it just never was kind of working out financially.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see how it would, how you could scale something like that. So I really had to tell myself, like, you have to stop saying yes to orders. Like, you can't do this anymore. Because I was becoming really miserable and also sitting in a chair all day decorating cookies.
Oh, your back was probably hurting. Your hands.
I was on
and you were probably stir buggy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was becoming depressed. Really.
Yeah.
And needing a change. And I had been talking about doing a podcast for years. Years. My aunt, the one that I told you passed away, was helping me get it ready. And I was thinking it was going to be more of like a self-help podcast.
Wow.
Because that's me, you know? That's like I love helping people. I love talking people through things. I love talking about things that are uncomfortable to talk about.
Yeah.
So that's where I was going with it. And almost like ready to start it. Like I was ready to go. And then I got a call, had to fly home, and I didn't know that my aunt was going to die 11 days later. She was like my person. Like, in, you know, my everyday life meant everything to me. And I came back and felt like a different person.
Yeah.
And it almost was like my baseball relationship with Justin and my family. Like, I love baseball from my dad. My whole dad's side of my family loves baseball. We all like different teams, but that's just like always been a connection.
Right.
And in my grief, I was escaping into baseball more than ever. And you know me, I was like watching the game while working at the hostess stand. Like I've always been always. Like that.
Always.
But it kind of became the thing that it was the only thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I really isolated myself for a bit and was just so sad and like,
yeah.
I, you know, you believe everything happens for a reason and I'm like, that's thrown out the window.
Yeah.
So I was like, just so many questions about life and right. everything and how this could happen and I couldn't believe it. I still can't, honestly, aww. But
you've turned I it felt into something like beautiful though.
I don't give an F what anyone thinks about anything I do. I am going to give my all into whatever it is because life is way too short
yep.
to be, you know, not doing the things you love to do.
And thank God you did.
So
thank God you did.
I, you know, it really was like seeing someone with a Dodger hat and be like, oh my God, did you see the game last night? And them not wanting to talk to me and just being that girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are such a bright light. Like you've always just been so bright. This is like the way I would describe you.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
I want to cry. Like, you really just are so bright and full of life and just even.
I didn't feel like that at the time.
But,
I really didn't.
And I think that even in that time, I haven't seen you in so many years, but I would guess that even at that time, even though you were, I still bet that you were a pillar of, you know, hope for someone and still bright at that, even though you weren't, you know what I mean? Because that's just how you've always been. You've always been that way.
I think I'm really grateful that I've always had a very positive attitude and energy and just so optimistic, like glass half full, pouring over optimistic, despite going through a lot of hard things.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful that like that's who I am.
Yeah.
To get through all this stuff because I don't know how I would otherwise.
Well, and you've had an amazing, you know, role model. Your mom sounds like she's the same way and I've heard other stories about your mom. She just sounds wonderful and and your sister's also in a creative field as well.
Yeah. So she moved here in 2020.
Right. Right. I remember this. I remember she moved here. And she was, I want to say, living in Venice or, and she's on a whole other path as well, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
So when she moved here, you know, we're so close. We're 22 months apart, always on the phone a million times a day. Yeah. And she was living in New York for 10 years.
Yes, I remember this.
So we never really got to hang out, you know, day to day with each other. So when she moved here, it was so amazing for so many different reasons, but like seeing her day to day, she's been an entrepreneur since she was 21. Her first job, her first styling job, you know, 21 for Alicia Keys. And that started this crazy journey for her.
Yep.
And I think unless you start something of your own, as I'm sure you're learning, you don't have the perspective to understand it fully when someone else does. So I didn't truly understand all the grit
ins and outs
of just the day to day.
Yep.
And so really seeing her up close and as I was doing the cookie business at the time, we just were like relating to each other more than ever, hanging out as adults.
Yeah.
That's when she started Papa Sweater.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was, you know, she was kind of trying to do more of a high-end clothing line and that wasn't the time for that because we're all home now during COVID. So she felt like people needed a warm hug. So she had been wearing our Papa's sweater all the time with boots and jackets and just finding different ways to wear it.
I love that so much. And that's the origin of how she started.
And so during that time, she's like, I feel like people need like a warm blanket. And so she basically made a stylish snuggie.
Yes. And now your sister's name is Sam, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And so Papa Sweater is blowing up. It's really crazy because we both have amazing things going on right now at the same exact time. She just got a store on Abbot Kinney.
Oh, I have to go.
And she's moving in as I'm like making business deals for the podcast. And we both have had a tough journey of ups and downs. And now we're both going through the height of it together. And it's just really amazing and does feel like things you have to trust your own personal journey. You have to trust the timing of your life. Because it's not until like now that I can really appreciate all the stuff that happened before.
Yep.
When for so many years I'm like, when is anything going to work out?
When is it my turn?
I'm so tired of I'm happy for everyone in my life.
Of course.
Always. I love supporting them and cheering them on. But yeah, sometimes you're like, when are things going to work out for me?
Yeah. Well, I love that you guys are going through, you know, you went through the lows and now you're going through the highs together too. So that's beautiful. I'm so excited for you both. And
thank you.
I need to go to her store.
Mm-hmm. When you need something.
When is, I know. Are you doing a collab? Like a...
We're working on some stuff.
So getting into the podcast.
Uh-huh.
I've said, and I'll say it again, one of my inspirations with really starting because you've really made it look effortless, which I know it's not. You know, I know how much work and all of the things that go into it, but I, as a consumer, someone who's watching your podcast, mm-hmm. it's, you know, you want it to be effortless. You want it to be, oh, this is so exciting. This is it really sparked something in me to start what I'm doing now. So tell me a little bit about, so I know the backstory of what inspired you.
Mm-hmm.
What was the jump? What was the jump into really getting it going and being like, okay, this is my first episode and all of that?
So when I told you, like, I came back to LA feeling like a very different person, I was sitting on the beach in the same spot I was in like a month prior, but my life had totally turned upside down at that point. When I walked back in, and I went on the computer, I saw at Dodger Stadium they were hosting a women in sports event.
Oh.
So I just bought a ticket. And I thought, okay, let's see what opportunities there are because I can't shut up about the Dodgers. And going to that and sitting around women who also share this passion of mine and I can speak like talking baseball with them.
Yeah, you're speaking their language.
Yeah, they're like, okay, you have to do something with this. So
I love that.
They gave me almost the confidence to believe that, yeah, I do know what I'm talking about. Because, you know, girls talking sports, I'd be in a sports bar and guys would be like, oh, wow, you actually know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
So that helped me so much. And I just got, first I was looking for more than baseball because I had more than cookies.
Right.
And I wanted to like keep on brand. But then that was taken. So Talk Dodgers to Me was my next idea.
I love it.
Got it. Got the handle. Posted about being at Dodger Stadium. I'm like, I'm doing it.
Wow. So you just jumped.
I just did it.
You just jumped.
Yep.
That was the perfect.
So get this. I'm delivering a cookie order to Kennedy Marshall.
Okay.
My old company. I walk in and a girl I used to work with who would always talk baseball with me came right up to me and was like, I see what you're doing. I'd love to be a part of it. So it was like dropping off cookies to the place I used to work.
It's all,
this girl
it
coming
all
in
came together at once.
And that's where we record the podcast now.
Oh.
So it's like combining so many of the things that I had done in this moment of, wow, like I can actually do this
yeah.
at a professional place with they're going to let me use their equipment. I have a girl to do it with. And then I reached out to a guy I used to work with there, Adam.
Okay.
And I'm like, can you come on board? Because he's like someone that can do anything. He mm-hmm. can edit. He can, you know, record us, all the stuff. So that's how that all happened.
Wow.
And maybe a month later, we recorded the first episode.
Wow. What a blessing. And everything came together. It was meant.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hadn't had all the experiences that you had previously, it wouldn't have come together that way.
Mm-hmm.
It might have later, but
and I had no idea what to do or how to make a podcast. I just said to myself, we're going to do one episode a week all through baseball season, and I'm going to post at least one social media video a day because I just wanted to create that consistency.
Yeah.
and, you know, give myself direction on how to do this.
Yeah.
And also, when you're so passionate about something, it, like, I was so bold and shameless yeah. of messaging people. I didn't care who it was. I'm like, if they don't answer, fine, I'll go to the next. But I was so pleasantly surprised with the ones that yeah. did respond. Yes. And, you know, the ones that don't, all right, fine, I'll go to the next.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll come back to that one and a little yeah. bit later. And it was like week by week, things were happening and people were responding to me and saying yes. I couldn't believe it.
I'm having the same. I was just saying this yesterday. I feel so lucky because everyone, like, I have reached out to people. And it's scary at first, like, reaching out. And I feel so lucky. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not only a support, but mm-hmm. even you sitting here, like, everyone who comes on, it's like, oh my God. Like, I'm having this celebration anytime someone says yes, because it's just so exciting that they're investing their time into mm-hmm. into what you love to do. So I
think all the fear I had just went out the window.
I love that.
And it just was pure excitement.
And it shows.
Because I also felt like this is a really cool thing I'm doing. Two women talking baseball doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that really excites me. Yeah. And trust me, I've got big plans for this. But
can't wait.
It's almost like it was going so fast.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you know the phrase, trust the journey?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I always, like, would roll my eyes and be like, oh my gosh, if I hear that one more time. But now I feel like I have no other choice than to surrender to this journey because my life is changing day by day.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Like, from April to December, we had a first meeting of someone wanting to work with us. And it was a former Dodger player who, oh, this is another thing. So Oral Hershiser is a Dodger legend, World Series champ, awesome guy. He came into Spago when we worked there 8 years ago.
Wow.
And made such an impression on me. Was so kind and genuine. He let me take him back in the kitchen, say hi to all the guys. We took a picture. I wore his World Series ring.
Wow.
And that moment stuck with me for so long
mm-hmm.
because, you know, not every person you meet is as kind as you hope they would be.
Right.
And also, I don't care that much about actors, but athletes. Like, that's always been my thing.
I'm excited to see. And if you saw someone's name that even was like, I wonder.
Except when David Schwimmer came in.
That was, and then I walked up to him and I said, we have the same birthday. And he goes, okay, yeah, we do. And he goes, all right. And I said, I love you.
And he's like,
all right, I want to talk to her. Like, okay, can you sit down and let me talk to Melissa for a second?
So that stuck with me for a while. And as I'm like finding people to come on the podcast, I see that Oral Hershiser opened a sports memorabilia store. And I'm like, oh, maybe I can record one there. Maybe he'll remember me. I don't know. So I just called them. Like, hi, my name is Melissa. I started a podcast called Talk Dodgers to Me. I wondered if I could maybe come there and record an episode. And I met Oral once. Maybe he'll remember me. And they invited me to come. And I ended up meeting the whole team there. Oral wasn't there that day, but of course I showed them the picture and everything.
Yeah.
But that started a relationship with them that
wow.
I'm, you know, working with them to this day and as we go into season two of the podcast. But like, just pick up the phone and call. Why
you
not?
You never know.
Like, that
if you don't
phone
ask,
call
you don't know.
Changed everything because wow. they started doing events and I started doing a podcast at every event.
Wow.
And whatever athlete was there, because they would do autograph signings and stuff like that.
Right.
I would get them on the podcast.
Wow.
And Oral Hershiser has now been on the podcast 4 times.
Yep.
We're, you know, actually working together. I'm so excited about it. And we have this great relationship. And I'm just so grateful for it.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you. It really has been amazing to watch. And it's amazing to see you doing something that is bringing you to life. It's really special.
Thank
you. So I'm really excited. I know you probably can't talk too much about all the exciting things that you have going on, but what is the next really exciting thing that you can share? What can we expect?
So we're going to Tokyo next week, next Friday. I can't even believe
it. Have you ever
been? Oh my gosh. No.
No.
I can't wait. It's so day to day right now because something different is happening every day that, like, my mind is not there yet, but I'm right. So excited. I put this in my calendar a year ago. I'm like, I'm going to find a way to go.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
You really
brought it forward. I put the dates in my calendar, wrote Tokyo series, Dodgers, Cubs, because Adam, the producer of the podcast, he hates the Dodgers.
Does he really?
He hates them more than anyone.
That's actually hilarious.
Yeah, so it's become such a fun part of the podcast, like our banter with him. And the Dodgers are always winning, so he like brings us back to life a little bit, and we just fight and his team, the Cubs, are playing against the Dodgers in Tokyo.
Oh, this is going to be amazing.
So I just felt like it was meant to be, and I would find a way to get us there.
Wow.
So I got us sponsored to go to Japan.
I'm so excited for you.
I feel like I'm the voice of fans.
Yeah.
I am a fan. It's a podcast from the fans' perspective. So that is my number one focus.
Yeah.
Seeing what exciting things I can bring to them.
Yeah.
And that really is the drive.
Yeah.
And also bringing them into the podcast and hearing their stories. Because just like me, it's so much bigger than baseball for so many people. Yeah. It's their connection with their families. And now I'm building this Dodger community, which it's so funny because I'm the only Dodger fan in my family. So I love having this baseball connection with them.
What fans are they? Yankees, Mets,
mostly.
Yeah, right.
But I'm now creating this baseball community of my own. And it's just a really beautiful thing. And I feel just really happy that it's all coming together. Sometimes I'm like, how do I have a baseball podcast? How is this my life? And then other times I'm like, you know what? This makes all the sense.
It does. Knowing you, it makes all the sense in the world.
It is really nice hearing, you know, from someone you know and really sees you.
Yeah.
You know, how happy they are for you. So it's just really nice to sit here with you and hear that.
I'm so happy that you came. And you've always, like I said, you've always just been such a support to everything that I've done. And we have gone through, I mean, in that little room, there were tears. there were, who's breaking up, who's, you know, like we went through a lot together there. And you've always just been, even my mom says it, and I think you've met my mom a few times, mm-hmm. but I mention her so many times on the podcast. It's so funny. I'm like, she needs to come on the podcast.
Oh, you gotta have her on.
But she was so excited when I told her that you were interested in coming on because she has the same impression of you, and she doesn't even know you that well, and she just has that, like, you are just such a. You get it done. It's for one. You have a dream and you go for it. But you are just so bright and so, listening to the podcast. It's pouring out of you that you're so passionate about it. And I'm so happy that it's all working out and that it's all coming together for you and that your journey has been just exactly where it's landed is perfect.
Isn't so it crazy?
I know.
Well, you definitely have to have your mom on the podcast. But also, it's your podcast.
Yeah.
And just being you and your mom, who means so much to you, will allow the listeners to get to know you more.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it's been an interesting, I mean, other than the podcast, really, it is business. We were saying it's like you're starting a whole business. But it's finding those moments of, you know, how do I connect and how do I actually get people to get to know me? Have you found that? Has it just come naturally that it's kind of, you know, that you have that connection with your listeners? Or do you think that it's been something that you've had to keep in mind and kind of strive for in every episode?
That's a good question. Yeah, that it's everything to me.
Yeah.
It really is. So it feels effortless because I'm never going to be anything other than me. And I trust my gut and I do what I feel is right. And I think if you have that as your compass, you know that you're going to make the right decision.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, I'm making the best decision for what's best for the podcast always. It's never about me. It's never about anything other than what I feel is best for the podcast. And what that means to me is what the listeners are going to like, what they're going to want to tune in for. And also, you know, sometimes I probably say more than I should or am too transparent about things. And I like things to be relatable and conversational. We don't edit very much because when I listen to a podcast, I like to feel like I'm in the room with them. And I like those behind the scenes conversations. I like me and Adam yelling at each other before we pressed record.
Don't cut things out because I enjoy the behind the scenes.
Like that's
even
so
in the beginning, you being like, I got my nails done. Like I love it. Right? So yeah, don't cut those out because it's true. But I need to keep that in mind even with my stuff because it is easy to fall into that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, it has to be perfect. So
the hardest part is probably watching the episodes back.
Yeah.
At first, I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't. I'm peeking through my fingers. Why would I ever wear that?
The people, like, when you listen back to yourself, that's always been a struggle. I think for anybody, it's like you hate hearing yourself in a video. Well, hello, yeah. We listen to you on a podcast.
Like, Adam and I have become really great partners in this, mm-hmm. and we're business partners now. And he's like, you know, I'm full of passion and creativity and emotion, and he's like emotionless.
So you balance.
We really do. And, you know, we edited every episode together. And so I'm sitting there cringing, and he's like, I'm like, my hands look huge and like things you never thought you'd say. And he's just sitting there, you're fine. Your hands look fine.
No, you need each other. You need the balance of it. Yeah.
So it's really been so much fun.
I love that.
Definitely a lot of tough things to navigate along the way.
It's a business. So it is. Yeah, it's been. But I'm sure.
You know, I think I'm one almost like always growth mindset. What am I going to learn from this? Even in those tough situations. And I don't know how it's been for you with watching yourself back and stuff like that or listening to yourself. There's no point of getting mad about it or upset with yourself because it's just like, okay, I'll learn from it. Yeah. And all I can do is get better.
Yeah.
So I think with that mindset, I'm not being hard on myself and I'm just giving myself grace.
Good. I love that saying, give yourself grace. I love that. That's gotten me through. I heard that from one of my best friends years ago, my best friend Kaylee, and that stuck with me. And I always, give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. It's like a little something
totally.
On your shoulder.
Even like
constantly.
Anyone that wants to start something new or try something, just do it.
Yeah.
Because I end up learning from my mistakes and my failures way more than anything else. Like that's what teaches me what to do from what not to do.
Well, that was one of my questions, actually. I always ask everybody, if you were to tell mm-hmm. young Melissa one thing or give a piece of advice or someone who's looking to, you know, be you when they grow up, what would you say?
I think the number one thing would just be to keep believing in yourself or like kind of both of drowning out the noise around you and just really trusting your gut. Because I really feel like I did as best as I could. And that trust the journey thing, as much as I was, you know, cringing when anyone would say that, it is so true. I mean, listen to, like, my backstory. All of that had to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
So if you're feeling lost or confused, everything's going to work out. Just keep believing and keep pushing forward.
I love that. I agree. We have to remember it. Mm-hmm. We have to have a little bird in our ear.
I have to like 100 times a day, like deep breath.
Yep.
Everything's going to be okay.
Yep.
It's all going to work
out. Keep smiling.
I'd say that to
fine.
Myself.
I'm making fajitas. You know how many times I say that and the amount of times it doesn't land. It's a lot.
Someone doesn't get it.
Yeah, no. The amount of times they're like, you don't watch Friends, do you? You didn't get it. Well, again, I cannot thank you enough for being here. I am so, 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 so excited for you. And I cannot wait to see all of the amazing things that you do and all of the things that Talk Dodgers to Me do and all the things you bring it to. Where can we find you? Where can we keep watching? I want listeners to tune.
Well, one, thank you for wearing a Dodger hat today. You look so cute.
Thank you. It was
you better come back to LA to come to a game with me.
Oh, I would absolutely love to. Baseball is actually the only sport I know. Like, I don't know any other sport other than baseball.
Right.
Not as, you know, your podcast is teaching me, mm-hmm. but it's the only sport I'm interested in. I don't know anything about football. I don't know anything else. But I know I understand baseball well because I grew up, my brother played baseball. So I absolutely,
I can't wait. We would have a blast.
We're doing it. We need to put it on.
And for anyone listening, you know, we talk very conversationally about baseball. Like, I love learning about the players personally.
Yep.
And then I also talk about the game, but I'm not talking stats and all this stuff. It's just conversation surrounding the game.
It's entertaining. It really is. Listening to it is, it's an easy listen. Like, it is really, because you're bringing yourself into it. Mm-hmm. And it's not, yeah, you're not talking stats. It's, your personality is shining through it. It really is great. Because it's not.
Thank you.
It's not boring. It really is wonderful. So,
I love hearing that, especially from someone that like doesn't watch every baseball game.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's nice too, and it's nice to hear the stories behind everybody, and
I mean, that's what I love. That's what connects me. You know, learning about like Freddie Freeman, who lost his mom and wears long sleeves because she had melanoma. His son almost died last year. He ended up hitting a grand slam in game one and was the MVP of the World Series. Like, it was such a year of synchronicities and things happening for the Dodgers. And then they win the World Series the year I start the podcast. So it's just been a wild ride. I'm so excited about it. You can talk Dodgers to me on Spotify, Apple, YouTube. That's our Instagram handle. Mine is Melissa Meyer. Listen, it's fun. Send me a message if you like it. I can't wait to see where this journey takes you.
Thank you.
And however I can help, please let me know.
Thank you so much.
Or even if you just need a little boost of
motivation
or something.
I need your brain. Yeah, I will need all of it.
There's a lot that I was like asking questions of people, so I'm happy to help in any way. And I appreciate you so much having me on and saying the nicest things.
No, it's all true. I'm not just fluffing you up, but it's really,
really sweet.
Thank you for always supporting me and for being a cheerleader for everyone. We're all grateful for you. So I love you. And thank you for being here. And we're going to do this again soon.
Yay.
Do this again soon. And I can't wait to see what is yet to come for you. That is it for today's episode. And I will see you next time on Spaces Unscripted. Thank you so much for watching and listening. See you next time.
Later.
Bye.